The Heartbleed vulnerability comes from a coding flaw in the popular website encryption system OpenSSL. Security researchers estimated it affected up to a fifth of the world's web servers, and federal agencies weren't immune. The software's makers issued a fix on the same day the vulnerability was announced, and cybersecurity professionals scrambled in the hours after that to scan and patch their systems. But inside the federal government, that process took several days longer than it needed to, because the agency in charge of protecting civilian agency IT systems, the Department of Homeland Security, didn't have clear legal authority to scan other agencies' networks to see if they needed to be patched. Phyllis Schneck is DHS's Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity.
So as fast as we could, we went door to door and got a letter of authorization from each agency working with each lawyer to make sure that we could scan it. That cost us 5 to 6 precious days in some cases because the whole world knew about this vulnerability and all the information they could capture while we were lawyering. So had we had the clarification in law that this was our role, we would have gotten started a lot faster.
DHS's mandate to protect federal agencies from cyber threats comes from presidential executive orders and a patchwork of federal laws, including the 2002 Homeland Security Act, which tasks DHS with response and mitigation of cyber threats across federal, state, and local agencies and private sector critical infrastructure providers.
The problem, and I knew this from the other side in the private sector, is that when the lawyers get involved, and to their credit, they're protecting the company. And they don't really know if we're supposed to be scanning. And this even happened with the cabinet agencies that we had to scan for Heartbleed.
Schneck says DHS wants Congress to give it explicit statutory authorization to scan those networks as part of a series of legal changes in proposed cybersecurity legislation, which would also include liability protections for companies that share cyber threat information with the federal government.
It makes it very clear what our authorities are. To help with the information sharing across the private sector, that narrowly targeted liability protection. I come from industry 8 months ago, and that's very helpful to a company because it speaks to the general counsel and says this is okay to share with government and protect others, and the company won't get hurt. The breach notification. But this is the area on the congressional side. And on the resource side, we do need more talented people, and that means manufacturing them and training them and educating them. I'm very, very passionate about that as well. I'm a product of that. And it also means the ability to hire people faster, onboard them with the competitiveness that some other agencies have that we do not yet, and certainly to engage with the whole of unity of effort with DHS and put more money to this. If we didn't have to cut as much, we'd be able to grow a lot faster, and this is an urgent environment.
Schneck says even though DHS's response to Heartbleed was slower than it should have been, federal agencies were likely much safer from hackers seeking to exploit the vulnerability than they would have been a few years ago. DHS says federal agencies' move toward a regime of continuous diagnostics and monitoring means they are much more likely to have caught someone trying to leverage the security flaw. Increased perimeter defenses and reduced numbers of connections to the public internet help too, she says.
The system constantly measures how healed up it is and how secure it is, so you always know, and you're always aware of behavior that's different. And as we grow that system, it'll become more and more like your body's immune system. You don't need to have a conference call to fight a cold. You always know something coming in, and you'll be able to see, because we see even across the perimeter defense, we see different behaviors across all of the U.S. government that can in the future help inform the networks, both the other agencies that are being protected by the external defense, as well as these internal immune systems can learn to recognize bad behaviors. So our vision is not only operationally, both in the internal watching the network behavior and the external prevention, but using that core that makes DHS unique in NPPD, but our ability to bring in inputs from other partners, from trusts through the private sector to understand what companies are seeing, and to use all that and get it widely disseminated out to protect others across the government and private sector in real time. And I feel that across the government, we are very much operational. We very much have turned a corner. If I could have one wish, it would be to have been able to act faster in Heartbleed, and that would have been for the statutory clarification so that we wouldn't have had to get letters of authorization for every unique organization that we scanned.
In the absence of legislation that would authorize more information sharing with the private sector, DHS has moved forward with the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program, in which a limited number of internet service providers are able to see some of the government's sensitive and classified cyber threat signatures. That information is valuable, officials say, because federal agencies often have access to information about threats long before they emerge in the private sector. The same is true for individual cases of cybercrime and cyber espionage, according to William Noonan, the Secret Service's deputy special agent in charge for cyber operations.
We have a proactive approach to going after cyber criminals, and it's generally a source information that we're able to obtain, and we obtain it in a number of different ways, whether it's through confidential informants, other sources, undercover operations, trusted partners within the industry. And we're able to take that data, we're able to crunch that data and determine where there's a vulnerability and who potentially has been victimized. In many cases, in just this year, we've made notifications to actually two other financial institutions about their compromise. And I'm telling you that if it were not for that notification by law enforcement, the Secret Service, to those two financial institutions, they would not be in business today. They did not lose a single dollar because of that advance warning.
Dave Mann, the vice president and chief security officer at CenturyLink, says the information sharing programs DHS has launched within its existing authorities have proven their worth, but they need to go much farther.
While they do have very good programs with ECS and E3A, we do need to move it to the next level. The majority of the Homeland Security information sharing model is a one-size-fits-all. They get broad-based information from other government agencies. They put it in a format suitable for dissemination across all verticals, all infrastructures, small to large corporations. And while that's very helpful, if you are a small to medium-sized company and don't have a sophisticated information security program, it is of limited value to the larger corporations, particularly the critical infrastructures. The analogy that I often use is that you're invited to a wedding and you can bring a gift to the bride. She certainly appreciates it, but she would prefer you go to her wedding registry and select something she really needs. That's really where we need to go today. We have very specific collection requirements on how to protect our network. We do not have access to all the threat information, and I believe the government, whether it's through the Department of Homeland Security or other agencies, would be better assistance to us if we gave them very specific request to see if they could be fulfilled for information.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.